Greetings out of 3 John 1, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health just as your soul prospers." Hearty welcome to each one of you this morning. It is good again to dwell in God's house, the privilege and opportunities that we have. And may we be reminded to never take them for granted. We may all have heard the saying, change for the better. And if you could change one thing, what would it be? Do you ever think to yourself, I would like to change certain things in my life? I would like to change the way I look. I would like to change the way I do things or approach things. All of us change over time. And each one of us is getting older. But the sad thing is that we don't always change for the better. And it seems as we get older, there's ailments and sicknesses, they start taking a toll on our bodies. And we can't do the things that we used to. And even though our minds may still seem younger and still want to keep going, our bodies tell us different. We have this mindset that we can still do a lot of things, and yet our body says no. Not all of us like change. Some, if not most of us, have some very, very deep roots. And it's amazing how certain things always seem to stay. When I think of our school board meetings, I think of our ministerial meetings, I think of you people in the church. Many people, if not most people, they will sit in the same spot or very close to that same area. When we put on socks and shoes, it's always the right foot first and then the left foot, or vice versa. Putting on a jacket, the right arm goes in first. Or for those that are left-handed, maybe it's the left hand. So there are some things we have done our entire life, and they haven't changed. Either we've been taught that way from young, or we have a routine in our day, and it doesn't change. And many of those things, they're good as well, that they don't change. Now, when I think of devotions, I think of prayer time with God, our quiet time with Him, or even going to church every Sunday. These are good things, things that help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. In Genesis chapter 32, where I'm going to focus on, we see the process that God uses in changing Jacob. God is helping him become a different kind of person, a better person. And what we are about to read in this chapter is a turning point in Jacob's life and serves as a dramatic example of how God can change us as well. But before we get to our text, we need to remember that Jacob was somewhat, you could say, a shifty or a deceitful type of guy. If you recall back to Genesis chapter 27, he had tricked or deceitfully his father into giving him a blessing that was intended for his older brother Jacob or Esau. And Jacob's father could not see very well, and the father had sent Esau out to hunt some game and make some stew for him. And while Esau was away, it says Jacob came in with some stew and pretended to be Esau. Jacob knew that Esau was a hairy man. And he took some goatskin and put it on his hands and the back of his neck, just in case his father wanted to touch him, that he would feel just like Esau did. And sure enough, his father wanted to be sure that it was Esau and that he was hairy. So he called Jacob up to him and felt him to be sure. And the goat skin did its trick. Even though the voice was that of Jacob, the father accepted that it was Esau and not Jacob. Jacob had pulled it off. He had tricked his father. And we see that Isaac blessed Jacob. And as Esau returns, he becomes very, very angry. And Jacob runs for his life. And Jacob's name means cheater or a schemer. And several years later, Jacob, he's returning home. And he knew that he would see Esau again. And it was on his mind. How was he going to deal or approach the situation? How would Esau react? Would he still be mad? Would he try to kill me? I'm sure those were questions that were running through Jacob's mind. And it was at this point that Jacob has an encounter with God that would change the rest of his life forever. And it was such a transforming experience that he was never the same again. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. In this story, we see that God did change Jacob that would change his life forever. And perhaps we can learn from this incident the way that God changes you and I. There's four things that I want to point out this morning that God uses to change us into people that God wants you and I to become. There may be even more steps. My first point is a crisis or a turning point. It says that Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. This was no ordinary man that, that wrestled with Jacob. Some will tell you that Jacob wrestled with an angel. Some say it was God. But no matter who it was a supernatural event that caused a crisis in Jacob's life. Jacob had found himself in a very tough situation. He had gotten himself involved in a wrestling match with a heavenly being. And Jacob struggled and he wrestled all night. And he wasn't going to give up. Both had struggled all night, and Jacob was not going to let go. He was in the middle of a crisis. And even though Jacob was in the middle of this wrestling match, he wanted one thing before he even thought of giving up. And by daybreak, the man said to Jacob, "Let me go." But Jacob would not let him go. And Jacob then said to the man, "I will not let you go until you bless me." How many times have we done that? Especially when we were growing up as kids. You know, if your sibling wanted something from you, you said, "I want this, or you will do this for me, and then I will give it to you." But now as spiritual men and women, God works in and through our lives. And even the nudging of the Holy Spirit prompting us to do something, and we hesitate. And it's amazing how often that prompting or the nudging just doesn't go away. We wrestle with it. And sometimes it's for a long time. And then when we give in, we ask ourselves, why didn't we give in or do what he wanted at that time? And it's interesting how God often uses a crisis to get our attention. Maybe you've gotten yourself into a real dilemma that you didn't know how to get out of. No, sometimes we bring a crisis on ourselves. And then there are times that we don't. But the truth of the matter is that all of us will experience crisis at one point or another. And Jacob did. If we're experiencing a crisis right now, it could be because God is trying to get your attention. Maybe God is trying to draw you closer to his side. And some of us will never get closer to God because we pretend that we're doing all right on our own. We are comfortable where we're at. We never change because we like the place that we're at. The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse 7, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me." Sometimes we never change until we get uncomfortable. We will never change until we start feeling miserable. We will never change until we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis. And when we get miserable enough, we finally give in and we allow God to do what he wants in our lives. A mother eagle will take the nest of her young and stir it up. And she's going to make them feel uncomfortable and miserable and then kick her offspring out and force them to fly on their own. And it's all for their own good in their life. God does that in our lives as well. He makes us uncomfortable if that's what it takes to motivate us. That's because he knows what's best. And he wants us to grow. And he will allow a crisis or a problem or an irritation or a frustration in our lives to get our attention. And he needs to do this because we don't change until our fear of change is exceeded by the pain that we're experiencing. Crisis is the first step of change in our lives. The second point is commitment. Look what the man and Jacob said. He says, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Can you imagine the wrestling? The two of them wrestling most of the night until daybreak. How tiring and exhausting that must have been. And Jacob, he was committed. He was persistent. And he wrestled and he would not give up until he received that blessing. And he was in a situation he didn't like. It was frustrating, it was getting him down, and he was tired. But Jacob, he was committed. "I am 100% committed to staying with this situation until God blesses me. And I'm not giving up." So what is the lesson that we get from this? Note, after God gets our attention with a crisis, he doesn't solve it immediately. There are times that he waits for a while to see if we really mean business. Or have we truly made a change in our heart? And many people, they will still try to take the easy path. And many people, they bail out before the blessing. And it's amazing how many people will miss God's best for their lives because they gave up too soon. Now remember the story in the Bible found in Matthew 8, where a scribe came to him and he says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You know, I wonder if that person or that scribe continued following him that day. And after that day. After Jesus told him to follow him was going to be uncomfortable at times, that it was not going to be easy, that was not going to be convenient, the Bible doesn't tell us if the scribe continued following Jesus. But I can tell you this, some people give up way too early. Some people give up because the path is not easy. Some give up because it's not convenient. And when I think of it, every year as we start a new year, how many people make New Year's resolutions and goals for themselves? And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have done it. But how committed or devoted were we to those goals? I wonder, is that why even a lot of people never get into reading the Word of God? You know, they read it for 2 or 3 days and they miss it for a few days, then they read a few more days, and then they skip it for another few days. And then it seems like it doesn't last very long after that. That's just many other things in life as well. Especially the things that we don't want to do, but we should do. And it's like we never get past a certain point, and as a result, we never feel comfortable with it. We need to do it, whatever it may be, every day, and then be persistent with it, just like Jacob was. It takes commitment to achieve something worthwhile. The third point is confession. But after Jacob tells the wrestler that he was not going to let go until he received a blessing, the wrestler said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Do you ever wonder what the purpose of that question was? Was it to get Jacob to acknowledge his character by stating his name? You have to remember, Jacob's name means cheater or schemer. And Jacob had a bit of a history of cheating and scheming. We know that he had cheated his brother Esau. We have to remember that the last time Jacob was asked his name, he told a lie. His father asked him, "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob says to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn." He had lied to his father. He had deceived him. So the question was asked, "What is your name?" I ask you, who are you? Are you really who you say you are? We see Jacob, he answers and he says, "My name is Jacob." And by saying his name, Jacob, he admitted that I'm a cheater and I'm a schemer. He admitted his weaknesses because he was honest. And when he identified himself as Jacob, he was admitting that he had character flaws. It's an important process in God changing you and me. Because we never change until we honestly face and admit our faults, our sins, our weaknesses, and our mistakes. And God will not work on our problem until we first admit that we've got a problem. We need to say, "Lord, I'm a mess. I've sinned. I've got a problem, and I'm admitting it." It's at this point where God can work in our lives. So was that why he asked the question, "What is your name?" He was really asking, "Are you going to continue to live up to your name deceiving yourself and others? Or will you admit who you are and allow me to change you? The Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In this event in Jacob's life, it was much more than a wrestling match. It was an example of how God wanted to change Jacob's life. First, he brings a frustrating crisis. You're in a wrestling match where you will struggle. And then there's a point of commitment. How long will you hold on? And then there's the point of confession. Who are you really? But it's not over. My last point is cooperation. You know what, after Jacob had confessed to God, God said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled and striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Now, Jacob, he didn't argue with God when he wanted to change his name. But in verse 29, we also see that Jacob, he asked the man, what is your name? The man never told him his name, but it says that he blessed him there. And Jacob called the place Peniel because he had seen God face to face. His life was preserved. It was spared. It wasn't snatched away. And Jacob's life had changed spiritually as well. As we look into the next chapter, when he meets Esau, and it says that he lifted his eyes and he saw Esau coming. And it says that he bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. And then it says Esau ran towards Jacob. They embraced and they kissed each other and they wept. And Jacob also gave Esau a present of many animals. And he said, take my blessing because God has dealt graciously with me. What a change in his life from what it used to be. But after he had that personal encounter with God, he knew that his life would no longer be the same. God changed Jacob's name, which means a cheater, a schemer, to the name Israel, which means Prince of God. And God saw all of Jacob's weaknesses and faults, but he also saw Jacob's potential. And God always knows how to bring out the best in a person's life. In verse 31, just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. It was while Jacob had been wrestling, Jacob's thigh was dislocated, and as a result, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. It may seem a little unfair, but there could be reasons why Jacob would be walking with a limp. When we think of some of those reasons why Jacob would have a limp for the rest of his life, we may think to ourselves, you know, Jacob, he got himself into trouble because of cheating and scheming. And most of the time, when he got himself into that mess, he would simply run away. He would just cop out. But maybe not anymore. And God said, I will put a limp in his walk. I'll slow you down. Never again could Jacob just run away from difficult situations. And for the rest of his life, he would have to stand and face his problems. Not in his own strength, but in God's strength. And Jacob would have to learn to walk with a limp because of his encounter with God. But it could also be that Jacob was an example of God using a man with all his faults and flaws to be a great leader of a nation. You see, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Not because we are flawless, but because God can do anything and he can use anyone. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29, it says, For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And again, we can clearly see how God changes people. He changes circumstances. He changes many things that are for his good to bring glory to him. He can take a person who has all kinds of faults and flaws, and he can transform them. Why? Because that is what God does. And like Scripture teaches, that no flesh should glory in his presence. May you and I be encouraged as we continue to seek God, as he changes us more and more into his likeness, that we would stay faithful and obedient to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Fathers, we come before you this morning. I want to thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the persistence, the commitment of Jacob. How he struggled and wrestled, and he did not give up until he received your blessing. Father, as we go through life, we come upon trials. We come upon temptations. And Father, we pray that we would persevere through them, that we wouldn't give in, and later go back to you and saying, I've sinned, Lord. Lord, that we would stay faithful, that we would rely on your strength, in your grace. Father, we thank you for the people that you used. Now we can learn from them. Father, we thank you. Despite all the things that the people go through, you're still good. And you have a plan for each one of us. And sometimes we wonder, what's the purpose? But Father, we just pray that we would just continue to trust in you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As God works and changes your life, do you accept it? Or do you fight and struggle with it?
Let us bow for the benediction.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of the Lord.